for how you worked in Dory's life and Adam's life. And we've been praying about their job situation for some time. And Lord, thank you for doing a work there. We thank you for helping Paul and Debbie and Priscilla and Earl as they've all had surgery and been going through some tough times physically. And Lord, just continue to help them to recover and meet their needs, we pray. And do pray for Bennett as he has surgery tomorrow. We pray that his surgery would go smoothly as they do this knee replacement. Well, it's hard to pray during that, I'll just be honest with you. We'll wait till the phone goes off, we'll keep praying. Feel like I'm in Hawaii or something. And Lord, just help him as he has his surgery. And Lord, you know the importance of this and that he'd come through with no infections and that he would heal quickly. And Lord, you know the suffering he's been going through for some time now. And Lord, just guide the doctors tomorrow and help things to go well, we pray. And do pray for Diana's granddaughter and daughter. And Lord, you know the spiritual needs they have. And Lord, you do know their hearts. And we pray that you would work in their hearts and draw them to you. They would see the importance of living for you. And Lord, touch them, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. When we first came to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church almost 28 years ago, Sarah, our oldest daughter, was a newborn. She was born in June and or July, and we came here in August, so she was all of a month old. And one of the joys of being a parent is the six-month checkup or yearly checkup. And we would take Sarah in, and they would say, oh, wow, look at this. They'd see how tall she was. She's in the 60th percentile. And then they would weigh her. Those of you that knew Sarah as a baby know what's coming next. I mean, she was just skin and bones. I mean, there was just nothing to her. And I don't remember what it was, you know, like 10th percentile. You feel like a failure, you know, or my kid's only the 10th percentile, you know. And they kept a real close eye on it. You know, what are you feeding her? What's going on? And Johnny's mom accused us of poor kid. You know, we weren't feeding her and you know, all these things. Well, over time, of course, she did gain some weight, although she was never very big. But, you know, if we'd gone back month after month after month and her weight had not increased, 6 months, a year and a half, 2 years, and if she wasn't growing, the doctor would get very concerned. And yet it's interesting to me that as believers, we are content with no spiritual growth. We are content to be in the same condition spiritually now as we were a year ago. And we think that's natural. Well, now look, folks, if physical growth or the lack thereof is not normal, don't you think spiritual growth or the lack thereof is not normal also? You know, the simple matter of fact is we ought to be growing spiritually. Your prayer life ought to be better today than it was 6 months ago. Your Bible study, your church attendance, your walk with God ought to be better today than it was 6 months ago. We ought to be growing spiritually. Now, we're in the middle of studying Colossians 2, verse 1 through 7, and we have found a checklist for church members. There are five different things that we're looking at that ought to be true in your life today. And we've been encouraging you to check up on yourself. And if it's not true, then we need to make some changes. Let's look in verse 2. We find the first two or three of these. Well, we'll start in verse 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Here we go. That their hearts might be comforted. And we spent a whole lot of time there. And the idea of a strong mind, a mind that knows some things. Now, as a believer, you ought to know something. In fact, look, how many of you have been saved for a year or less? Anybody like that? How about 5 years or less? Wow, you guys are all saved a long time. 10 years or less? How many have been saved in the last 10 years? Okay, two or three of you. Okay, all right. You folks, you should know some things by now. You should have some knowledge. Your knowledge base should be increasing. But that he doesn't stop there. He said your hearts might be comforted. Notice, secondly, being knit together in love. What is that? That is taking the things you know and doing them. Practicing what you know. It's always amazing to me when I go to a doctor's office and the guy's overweight and he's lecturing me on eating too much. I'm thinking. Or I go to the hospital to visit people and I see a bunch of nurses standing outside smoking. I'm thinking, you know. I mean, they know some things, but they're not applying them. You know, as believers, when we apply the things we know, we will be knit together in love, edifying one another, building each other up. And that leads us to the third thing. That's all review. The third thing we talked about last week, settled in understanding. And that's not just you say, wait a minute, you already talked about knowing some things. That's applying those things. And when you apply them, you get, notice verse 2, a full assurance of understanding. Full assurance of understanding. The settled fact in my heart, I know this is true. I know what God says is true. I know it's true, one, because God's word says, and secondly, because I've experienced it. And we talked last week how that there are some main things we've got to get settled in our heart. One is the person of Christ. What are a couple things about Christ you need to have settled in your heart once and for all? That he is God, who he is. What else? Not only who he is so crucial, but what he did. Exactly right. What he did. That his payment at Calvary is enough to save. Aren't you glad that when you come to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and when you read your Bible, you don't hear, okay, come and place your faith in Christ, and then you have to do this and this and this and this and this. If you do all those things, if you get baptized, if you have communion, if you join the church, if you help old ladies cross the street, if you give lots of money to the church, if you give lots of money to the assistant pastor, you know, if you do all those things and you live good enough, when you die, you'll go to heaven. Now, the majority of people, that's what they're preaching and teaching, folks. Aren't you glad that it is Christ and Christ alone? Christ plus or minus nothing. That was Martin Luther's cry. The scripture sola, scriptures only, Christ only, faith only. What a great truth. Have you got that settled in your heart? By the way, you'll never get to heaven unless you believe that Christ is all you need. That by faith, when you turn from sin and turn to Christ, you can become a child of God. What a great truth. He said this subject, notice back in verse 2, the riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this is an amazing statement. And I'll just be honest with you. I don't know that I understand all what this means. In Christ is everything you need to know. And it's all right here in the Word of God. And we talked about the fact that as Christians, we ought to be mining diamonds in the Word of God. Did you do any digging this week? Here we go. Digging for diamonds. There you go. Did you do some digging this week? This book right here is full of treasure for every one of us. In 2 Peter 1:3, it says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. What do you need to know to be godly? What's right here? It's all right here. You don't need to have some vision. You don't need to send money to Benny Hinn, aren't you glad? You don't need some wild experience. You don't need the Book of Mormon. You just need this book right here. This book right here. And this book is full of riches. I like the little chorus, every promise in the book is mine. How many used to sing that song as a primary or junior kid? Not many of you, a few of you. This side is very knowledgeable. This side, a little slow here. Every promise in the book is mine, every chapter, every verse, every line. I am standing on his word divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Isn't that great? Great truth. And it's all found in the word of God, and it's all the knowledge of Christ. And when you take the word of God and you obey it and you follow it, you know what happens? You get assurance because you see it works. you see it works. Hey, have you seen that this week? There's some things I'm praying about in my life right now. And I'll be honest with you, I could probably take care of it the semen way if I would wanted to, but I want to see God do something in my life. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to pray about these things, and I'm not going to do anything. Now, I know that's hard for you to believe about me, but that's my plan. So far, so good, you know, last 10 minutes. And praying that, because I want to see God do something. You see, it's one thing to say, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. It's another thing to say, okay, I'm going to do it, and God did it. What does that give you? Well, that gives you assurance in your heart, doesn't it? Assurance that the things of God are true. Boy, that's what we need. Do you have that in your life, that settled understanding? And we did not cover verse 4 and 5. Let's look at it real quickly. This is all part of this point. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. What happens if you don't have assurance in your heart that something's true? You are a prime target for the false cults, the false teachers, the TV evangelists, the prosperity gospel, whatever. You're a prime target. And when things, by the way, you're a prime target for the devil too. Because when something goes wrong in your life, you know the Word of God says all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. But if you don't have that settled assurance in your heart, what happens when something bad happens to you? Well, God must not love me. God doesn't care about me. See? You're a prime target. Well, we need to get some things assured in our heart. And then notice verse 5. Now he says, But though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order. That word order is a neat word. It's a military word. To be in your place of duty, to be in line, filling in the spot. He said, you folks are doing great, and you're steadfast. You're steadfast in your faith in Christ. So I'm just touching those real quickly because I want to go on to verse 6 and 7. Here's the fourth one. All right? Number 4. And he says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Here's the fourth one. Folks, not only do you need to know some things and practice those things which will bring you assurance in your heart, but you need to be walking in Christ. Walking in Christ. Now, when we think of the term walk and we apply it to our spiritual life, what are we talking about? Give me some ideas. Communion? Growing? If you are walking with someone, daily communication. Yeah. And I like that word daily is really good. It is a daily walk with God. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And here he says, look, now obviously the main intent of the passage is, as you have therefore received Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him. How did they receive Christ the Lord? What did they believe about Christ to receive him? We've already talked about this morning. For those who were awake at the beginning, what did they believe? How did they receive Christ? They believe that he was, wow, you guys, such excitement. Try to hold it down, okay. They believed he was God. They believed that Jesus Christ's payment was sufficient, and they accepted it by faith. And he said, just like you received that, you need to keep walking, believing every day. But I think there is a broader application here. And that is that their confession should change their walk. Diana mentioned this about her grandchildren. If your belief doesn't change your behavior, it is useless. The overweight doctor, the smoking nurses, that sounds bad, the nurses who were smoking. I had to wake some of you up anyway. They know something, they believe something, but it doesn't change their life. Now look, believers, what you believe about God and Jesus Christ it ought to change your life dramatically. Can you give me some verses that back that up? There's one that all of you should get. Very good. 1 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, old things are passing away and all things are becoming new. Look, folks, this is why we talk to some people and they've made a profession of faith, but it hasn't changed their life a bit. And you say, See, what you did at salvation when you got saved, it'll change your life. It'll change your walk. And he says, as you believed in Christ, so walk ye in him. What about Romans 6:4? We use it sometimes in baptismal services. It says, even so we should walk in what? Newness of life. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But what's the next verse say? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 5:8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Does your walk match your profession? Can people in your family and people in the workplace where you work, can they tell that you're a believer by the way you walk? Should the believer's walk, conduct of life, be different? You work at, where do some of you work at? Let's see. Some of you don't work. That's pretty sad. Where do you work at, Darren? Commercial electronics. All right. Let me ask a question. Darren, are you a believer? Have you been born again? All right. Are there unbelievers where you work? Okay. Let me ask a question, class. Should Darren's life at Commercial Electronics be different than the unbelievers at Commercial Electronics? Undoubtedly. Undoubtedly. If not, we got a big problem. I see Ronnie back there works at Coke. Of course, he rides around a truck all by himself all the time, so he never sees anybody. But Ronnie's a believer. Should his life be different from the unbelievers at Coke? You better believe it should be different. You bet it. Should be. And folks, when you become a child of God, now think about this. Before you were got saved, you were a slave of whom? Satan. When you got saved, you became a slave of Christ. Should that change your life? Well, they're diametrically opposed. Before you were bound by sin, now you've been set free from sin. Before you were controlled by this flesh, now we should be controlled by the Spirit. Before you're living for your own pleasure, now you're living for His pleasure. Now, let's get more specific. Turn to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. 1 John 2, 6. He that saith, he abideth in him. Who is him? Christ, all right? Ought himself also so to walk, even as he, that's Jesus Christ, walked. Well, that's real simple then, isn't it? How should a believer walk? Who should you look like in your life? Christ. All right, so the question is, how did Christ walk? What was his life like? If you had to describe how Christ was in this world, what would you say? We could probably think of 10 or 15. Yes, ma'am. Sinless or holy? Perfect. He was a servant. Compassionate. What's that? Separate. What else? Loving. He was a teacher. What else? submissive to his father's will, undoubtedly. Non-compromising. He stood for the truth, didn't he? And when evil was present, what did he do? He rebuked him. He rebuked him. That kind of bounces off the love thing, you know. We all just love each other, you know. We just get together, we just love each other. We just love Jesus, love each other, man. It's great, you know. We're just, you know. By the way, there was a big craze years ago. Remember that? The little bracelets, what would Jesus do? Now, to be honest with you, it's a good thought. But some of the people I saw wearing those, I thought, you must be asking the question because you don't know the answer. You know? But isn't that really how our lives, you know, if I am living the way I should be living, should you not be able to say he is like Christ? Now, let me ask a question, then we'll have an imitation. How'd you do this week? Yes, ma'am.
I was called legalistic.
Yeah, that's a nice term, isn't it? Because you believe in separation. The only problem with that is legalism has to do with work salvation. Never allow anybody to call you legalistic unless you're saying you've got to have your hair cut off your ears to go to heaven. Now, that's legalism. Separation is say we're going to look different from the world. See the difference? Now you've got me off on a rabbit trail now. I tell you what. I could do some preaching there. My life ought to be a reflection of Christ. The songwriter just said it so well. Oh, to be like the blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly, I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures. Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. And the chorus says, oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. He said, look, folks, checkup time, you're to be walking like Christ. Every day, every moment, like Christ. Would Christ have said the things you said this week? Or the way you said them? Would Christ have treated others the way you treated them this week? When your child disobeyed and you just got furious? I'm glad I've never done that. Unfortunately, most of the time we don't discipline our kids till we're so mad. Obviously, that's the worst time to do it. Look, folks, as believers, we're to be walking like Christ. Now, here's the neat thing. When you are spirit-controlled, when you allow the Spirit of God to control your life, what will your life be like? Well, what's the fruit of the Spirit? Amazingly, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit the Spirit produces in you is exactly the same as how Christ lived. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, one of my favorites. We ought to say, long-suffering. Gentleness, goodness, meekness, see? He said, look, believers, you need to be walking like Christ. My, how our homes, how our marriages would change. If every husband in this room said, you know what? I'm going to treat my wife like Christ would have treated his wife if you were married. Obviously he's not. If every wife said, oh, I'm going to treat my husband exactly like Christ wants me to, and I'm going to have the Spirit of Christ, no matter what that idiot, that guy says, I'm going to have the Spirit of Christ. Can you imagine the harmony in your home? Wow. Some of you said, boy, I'd like to experience that someday. Now, that's the general idea. Now, he's going to specify for us back in Colossians chapter 2 in verse 7. We've got four things. I'm going to cover three today real quickly and leave the next one for next week as it's talking about Thanksgiving. Here it is, verse 7. Rooted, number one. Number two, and built up in him. Number three, and established in the faith. All right. He said, I want to give you three terms that kind of specify. We were a little general. Let's specify exactly what should be going on in our life. Number one, rooted. Now, what kind of a term is that? Yeah, it's planting a horticulture or whatever word you want to use. Some time ago, when Hannah moved out of her house, she had a plant in her bedroom that was getting a little feeble because the pot was too small. And so after my wife harassed me several months, we finally went out and bought a pot. She didn't harass me. She encouraged me. She motivated me. See, if I'd done it right away, none of that stuff would have happened, would it? Say amen right there, sisters. All right. Okay. If you take out the trash the first time you're asked, guys, you won't get nagged. See, that's just the way it is. That's just some practical truth for you there now, all right? So anyway, we bought a bigger pot and took that thing out. We're very careful with the roots, and the roots had kind of gotten compacted because the pot was too small, and put it in a new pot, and amazingly, it's still alive today, which is a tribute, which is in spite of me, because usually I kill everything. But he says this idea of being rooted, a deep root in something. It's interesting, for you English scholars, this is a passive perfect participle. Isn't that exciting? Now, you know passive. You say, that's my husband. I'm just kidding. What does the word passive mean? Non-active. So, I had to make some points to women too, you know. All right. So he's saying, all right, here's something. You're going to be rooted, but it's not you doing the rooting. Okay? Somebody else is acting on you. That's passive. A perfect participle is where the action took place in the past, but it's affecting today. Okay, that's the perfect part of it. So it's passive perfect. What happened? When you got saved, here it is. When you said, I am a sinner, and I have broken God's law, and I deserve to go to hell, but I realized that Jesus came and died for me, and you placed your faith in Christ, you know what God did? God rooted you in Christ Jesus. Now, how important is it to have a good, solid root? Well, when we had these big storms, some of you found out, didn't you? Who was I just visiting this week that had a tree? You guys. We're talking about trees falling down. Yeah. A root wasn't real good. It wasn't real deep. The storms come, and have you known believers like that? By the way, it's interesting. There's a parable that deals with that, isn't there? Parable of the sower. The seed is the same. What differs in the parable? The soil. Yeah, the soil. The first is thrown on the hard stuff. Doesn't even take root. Second one, it takes root, but it's rocky, and it's not a very good root. And then the sun comes up, it's not getting any nourishment, and it's gone. Third one does take some root, but it's got weeds all around it. It chokes it out. Fourth one, by the way, is in good soil, finds good root, and what happens to that plant? It brings forth fruit. 20-fold, 60-fold. You know what the teaching is, by the way? If you're a believer, if you're really a child of God, what are you going to have in your life? Fruit. Now, it may vary, but you will have fruit. You will have fruit. Boy, the rooting process is very important. Jeremiah 17, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the years of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. What a great picture. Does that picture your life, believer? When the drought comes, by the way, if you're a believer, you're going to have a drought at some point. And when the drought comes, is your root in Christ sufficient that you will not wilt, but you will continue to yield fruit? Well, that's how important that root is, folks, to be rooted in Christ. Well, if you're not, you're in trouble. When the storms come, I meet Christians like this all the time, knock on their door. Oh, yeah, I used to go to church all the time. What happened? Well, you know, the deacons did this, the preacher did this, or somebody did this. What happened? Well, they weren't very rooted, evidently. didn't have a good root. And when the storm came, they were gone. Second one, moving on quickly here. Rooted, secondly, and built up in Him. Obviously, construction term. Something that's built. I like to build things. Because when you're done, hopefully you can say, well, look at there. You know, sometimes it's not that way in life. He said you need to be built up. That's interesting too. Again, another passive word, but it's in the present. Okay, it's ongoing. The first thing happened at salvation, and it affects today. This one is also passive, but it's something that's ongoing, and that is the growing process. Now, it's interesting to me that it's passive, because you would think as a believer, we grow ourselves, right? We build up ourselves. In fact, it even sounds like that. But you know what the process is, folks? The process is you taking the Word of God and reading it and meditating upon it. And as you do that, you know what God does? God causes you to grow. He builds you up. Let me give you a couple of verses that support that. Acts 20:32 says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up." 1 Peter 2:2, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby." Another little chorus we used to sing. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. And I like the other part too. If you don't read your Bible, what happens to you? You shrink, shrink, shrink. Let me ask you a question. You shrinking or growing? Now, I'm not talking about physically, okay? I'm talking about spiritually. Are you growing? We ought to be, as we study the Word of God and we get in, what happens? We grow spiritually. We become what God wants us to be. Are you growing spiritually? I sure hope so. By the way, it's possible to be in church every Sunday, every service, and not grow. You can hear it and hear it and hear it if you don't apply it. I mean, I can have the best food sitting in front of me. My daughter actually, my wife had her tooth pulled this week. She's been in agony. So Hannah cooked for us Wednesday or Friday, and I'm not sure what it was. It was some Italian dish. What was it called? Spinach and cheese stuffed shells. I hate spinach. But you would be so proud of me. Because it didn't taste like spinach. You know, it had cheese and all this stuff in it. And don't I look good after eating all that spinach? I just feel like Popeye now. You know, I'm just taking off here. Well, you know, the good food, which I eat too little of. And now I've also got some Snickers ice cream bars, which are really good. But I don't think that those are the kind of food you need to eat all the time. But hey, eat that spinach. That's good stuff for you. It's maybe not good stuff, but it's good for you. And if you disguise it enough, you know. Hey, look. Believer. And I know this is so foundational. And you think, Seaman, give me something deep. Well, this is the answer right here. Why do we harp on this all the time? Read your Bible, read your Bible, read the Bible through and read the Bible through blah, 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 blah. And you hear it over and over again, you think, what in the world? Because this is it. You cannot be a growing Christian if you're not reading the Bible every day and applying it to your life. Can't happen. But as you do, as you read God's Word, as you apply it, as you pray, it'll change your life. And notice the last thing there in the verse. And it says you will be established in the faith. Ha! Isn't that what you want to be? God will give you a solid, firm footing in your life. Now, I've got a little bit more, but time is gone. Let me ask you a question. Here's our third checkup, or fourth checkup, actually. Let me ask you a question. Are you walking like Christ? Are you growing? Are you spending time in the book every day? You see, folks, remember that we talked about sanctification years and years ago when the Spirit of God takes the Word of God to make you like the Son of God. What a great thought. Folks, that's when you grow. Are you growing? Are you walking in Christ? Are you giving a proper reflection of who Christ is? By the way, if you do that, then you are glorifying God and you're fulfilling your purpose in life. You say, I haven't been. Hey, start today. Start today. Turn the TV off, get out your word, and go digging for some treasure. It's here. It's here if you'll dig and then apply it to your life and help you to grow and be like Christ. Then you can be spiritually healthy. Lord, we thank you for these thoughts today. God, help us to not be satisfied with a lackadaisical Christianity that has no growth. God, help us to be like you this week. Help us to be a proper reflection of Christ in our life. Help us to walk in Christ, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good to have you all here with us. Patty, great to see you again. Good to have you with us. Amen.
A few weeks ago, I noticed myself getting kind of good. I just spent several days meditating in Psalm 23.
Yeah.
You talk about something alive in you.
Amen. You're exactly right. You're exactly right.